If you are like me and know that free enterprise is the greatest opportunity in the world, but you also see there are huge issues starting to arise, like why is mentorship decreasing in popularity? Why do entrepreneurs like us who love to succeed see people fail at the top and never leave true significance? And how do people like us make a lasting impact on the world? And is it possible for enough entrepreneurial leaders together to make a real difference? These are the blaring questions, and this podcast is the answer. Journey with me, your host, Christian. Together, we will challenge the status quo and conquer our legacies.
Thank you so much for tuning into Journey with Christian D. Evans podcast. I am your host, Christian D. Evans. And guys, I am very excited to have this individual on. He's a very successful business owner and expert in this field. And, you know, his name is Alper Chucker, and he's the founder and CEO of Extentio. And I'm just really excited to dive in exactly what he's doing on, what he's got going on over there in California. Thanks so much for joining, man. How are you doing, man?
Very good. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know it was a short, short intro. So tell me a little bit about who you are, my man, what you got going on, and obviously what that transformation looked like, bud.
I'm originally from Turkey. So I moved to the U.S. about 19 years ago. My background is actually in music. So I started as a musician. That's what I studied. I worked as a professional musician, as a guitar player, engineer, touring musician, producer. And then when I moved to LA, I started getting gigs for design work as well. So I started with websites that led into doing more UX and UI design, which was the early days where the concept for user experience design was evolving. So I started getting better clients for UX. And in 2009, me and my girlfriend at the time, current wife, so like we started a company called Fakro, which was an agency for UX design for startups. And through that agency, about 5 years ago, we started this project called Extentio, which was a side project that took a life on its own. And over time, we transitioned into starting that as a company and building that. So like the last 5 years, I'm running Extentio, which is an online collaboration platform for businesses to create better documents and presentations.
Definitely. Well, that's awesome, man. So let's kind of dive back into being a musician, man. I mean, that going from to this, software company, right, to all of a sudden, from a musician, what did that kind of trajectory look like? Are you still, gigging around a little bit, having some fun with musician why did you decide to pivot a little bit?
I think when you're a musician, it's actually you need to be flexible. Right. So that was the first. And I, looking back, I see that, all my life, actually, I had all these different roles and gigs that I took just to stay as a musician, in between gigs you have some time off, and I'm a curious person. So I ended up also always having some interest in other things in parallel, from bartending to, selling stuff online. Right. So I did it all. And when I came to US, I needed a flexible job. I didn't want to go and work at an office and not have the option to go audition or take gigs when they come along. So I needed something flexible. And now we're with COVID and everything, we're very used to remote work, but that wasn't the case about 15, 20 years ago. It was every time you talk to somebody, say hey, you got to be here, you got to do this. So I ended up trying to find more gigs as a freelancer, and those were the design gigs. I need a website, I need something designed as a brochure. I need a cover for this project. So all those led to me taking more design stuff. And I realized that it wasn't only about making things pretty, but I also needed to make things work. So a website needed to perform well and be intuitive for people to use it. So that triggered my more interest for me on the user experience design side. So it's really one thing led to another, but the curiosity, I guess, was the lead driver for everything for me.
Yeah. So with curiosity, because, what we always hear is curiosity kills the cat, right? That's a famous quote, but in fact, curiosity is what creates innovation. So where do you think that curiosity came from?
I mean, I guess like you're born with it, and you know, some people has a stronger sense of it than others. And but I also I think it's also about, you know, not minding breaking things a little bit. You know, like it's like if you're curious, you're definitely, well, if you don't, even if well, there's a good chance that the cat is going to be injured, if not dead. So like you should be okay with getting a little bit injured. And that can be like in different ways. You know, sometimes like you, I mean, I my life is full of failures. So like, I mean, like I failed so many projects. So like you're curious and you're taking risks, that's a part of the game. But now, like looking back after all these years, I am seeing that all those actually dead ends and failures and disappointments, all those things actually lead to something better. You learn from them. So like, and now like it, like the reasoning behind it, a lot of the things you do depend on those things. You learn a lot, so you hopefully like don't make the same mistake over and over again, but you also are okay with the fact that, you know, some things are not going to work, and that's okay too. Like you'll just go on and like find the things that work better for you.
Yeah, I definitely have that, you know, and I appreciate that right expectation, right? When you get into entrepreneurship, right, it's okay that you're going to fail, but also, hey, you know what, not everything's going to work, and having that right expectation. So with your transformation, you know, what have you discovered? What was one of your biggest failures that you, like, it hurt, but then you had to overcome it and you had to figure it out?
That's a good question. So, I mean, again, like the journey, as you describe it as well, like it's super important. So like for me, I had this pre-notion of what I should be since I was 13. And I thought that would be like, you know, like I started, you know, pretending like I'm a guitar player when I was 13. And then I started, you know, learning, and I kept learning, and I then went to college for it. I moved countries to study and all that stuff. So like it was a very set understanding of what I should be. But, you know, all that understanding actually came from things that was available to me at the time. We didn't have internet, we didn't have cell phones, you know, like there was no technology, entrepreneurship was not a thing. So like all these things were new. So when you're dreaming, you actually dream within the boundaries of what is available to you. What do you see around you? And now those boundaries are, you know, way different, right? So like it's everything on the internet and anything is possible. And you're able to just go explore, just watch YouTube videos and learn anything. Like none of those things existing. So like all of my understanding about what I should be or I want to be was around what I saw at that time. So, and then, you know, like there came a time when I realized, you know what, I'm all doing this. And I did a bunch of stuff in music. I worked with like really good bands. I traveled a lot. I played thousands of gigs. I sold millions of albums for different people. And it was awesome, but at the same time, like I still felt like, you know, like it wasn't the same dream that I had at the beginning. So like I wasn't, you know, I wasn't like one of the idols that I was following. So in one way, it felt like a failure because it wasn't what I thought it would be. But at the same time, it was something else, and it was okay too, and it was actually pretty cool. And then I realized, you know, like actually life is short, yes, but also it's long enough to change course multiple times as well. So like for me, like having these different paths that I can walk through, and you know, sometimes in parallel, sometimes by making choices, is actually what makes it super fun. Like it makes it super valuable. Like and now, yeah. Like I go and say, like, you know what, I like the fact that I can just go and design something. I like the fact that I'm running a tech company. I like the fact that like I'm still, you know, playing the guitar. I like the fact that I'm able to do all these things. And you know, like it's a, when I with my you know 18-year-old mind was thinking that, like, you know what, I gotta this one thing, I gotta do this really well. But now actually, like now we're realizing as things evolve in life and the way we learn changes as well, we're realizing that we're actually capable of doing multiple things. Sometimes in parallel, sometimes back to back.
Yeah. Well, what's so interesting is every path that you have had is always that creative path, right? Musician, that creativity, you know, that one company, you know, creativity, and the company that you have now, entrepreneurship, right? It's creativity, right? And so, you know, let's kind of dive into, like, you know, when you're 13 years old, you had this identity, right? This is who I am. When was that deciding point that you're like, okay, I don't want to be this anymore. this was, I thought it was this, and now I'm this person and I don't like this. What was that deciding point and how did you change it? And was it tough for you? Did you lose yourself for there for a second, or did you always have that self-esteem? You like just jumped into the design company?
Actually, like, I mean, a lot of the times it was overlapping. So like, it wasn't that, like, there was no like set moment where I said, you know what, from here on, I'm not this person. Now I'm this person. It wasn't like that. It was a transition, which from being a musician to being a designer, that was probably over the course of a couple of years. I mean, basically what's happening is you're doing these two things and you're realizing that, you know, like, you got to pay the rent and this one is paying better. And then you're still feeling creative. So it doesn't feel like you're working at a bank and clocking in and out, but like, you're still being creative. You're learning. And that was a major part for me. Like, what am I learning? Is it really making me better over time? So like that, so that overlapping two things and one continuously becoming stronger just led that whole transition. And then the next thing was the same thing. Necessity was actually probably the driver of all these things. So like, I was in, like, we were in the agency world and we were running this agency in Hollywood, small agency, 10 people, but you know, you're in California, the costs are really high. Now we got a physical space, you know, like we're trying to get the best talent. All of a sudden there's all this unknown around the agency world. Like, I always need to get the next client. Whereas like this whole concept of SaaS was coming to life, where like subscription businesses, instead of like, you know, helping maybe like 5 to 10 clients, maybe I can build something that helps, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, or even maybe millions of people, you know? So and that's more predictable because of the subscription economy as well. So like that necessity of like creating some predictability in the business led to building this side project, which again, similar to the previous example, like it over time took a life on its own and became stronger than the previous one. So it's really, again, like, it's just one thing leads to another, really, if you're willing to take that.
Yeah. Which is pretty sweet, you know? So it just like, I mean, it just was an organic transformation, like you were saying, right? Hey, you know what?
Right.
Just common sense. This one's making more. Let's go do this and let's go ahead and liquidate it. So it wasn't like too much of a complication. See, and that's what I was trying to get at is some people, they've become so identified and, oh, this is what I do. This is who I am. And then all of a sudden when you have to pivot, it's hard, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously you'd never had that. It was just more of a transformation. It was just more logical in that kind of, you know, kind of a route a little bit. Now let's talk a little bit about your business. Okay. You know, your numerous businesses. So the design company, okay, it really started scaling, but like you said, that you ran into some, you know, some ups and downs with that, you know, California and so forth. What were some of your big takeaways from that? You know, your learning experiences from that business.
Mm-hmm. So, that's a good point. Before that, let me actually add one more thing to the previous note, which is, yes, I was identifying myself with the business as well, you know, like, and my wife, we were like, we're the owners, we're the face of the company. So you go to talk to the client, you're the one who's convincing them. If something goes wrong, you're going to answer to them. It doesn't matter if you got like project managers, designers, at the end of the day, you are the one who's the business. And that's usually the case for most of small agencies. And that's my segue to the answer for your next one. A lot of the times, actually, like for me, one of the reasons for moving on to another business or like starting exploring another business was, can I create something that I am not so much attached to? Instead of me like actually running this whole thing, can I create something that people don't need to know me at all, but they still get value from it? So like that, and because what that gives me is like, I can then, one, do multiple things. Two, more people can, you know, take responsibility for what they do instead of saying, you know what, it's this guy's company. Like, I'm a designer, but yeah, like, I'll just go do something else later. This way, actually, you know, like, you give more ownership to other people in that organization as well. And that has actually helped me also be able to, like, instead of working in the business, and this is a very common way to put it, instead of working in the business, I really wanted to work on the business. So like, I'm trying to make that transition still to this day with this new business.
Well, that's actually a really interesting point that you mentioned, because I mean, it's such a easy quoted, phrase, if you will. However, though, it is very tough, but you have to be in the right industry. I know specifically coaches, consultants, those individuals. Well, guess what? That business revolves around you, right? You're the individual that they're buying into. But in your circumstance, which one of the biggest things you learned was, well, I want to remove myself from that process. So was there, did you get overwhelmed with the design where you're like, oh my gosh, I don't like this? Or was it just like you said, it was just more of a transformation, like, hey, there's another avenue. I kind of like this business structure because now I can go golfing, I can go do other things, and I don't always have to be in the, the operations, the fulfillment mm-hmm. of the business.
I actually love design and I love being in the business. I am so much I'm in it 24/7. So if I'm not doing something, I'm still checking it, right? So being able to detach yourself a little bit doesn't mean that you detach yourself. That means you can actually step back and let people do their thing and be okay with the fact that, other opinions, other takes, other perspectives are sometimes even better than yours. So me detaching myself from that position enabled other people, and I love that. And I also realized that creativity doesn't need to be at the pixel level. So you can be creative with who you are, like how you motivate them. You can be creative about your partnerships, about how you price things, how you market things, it's infinite. So when people think of creativity, a lot of the times they think that, I'm not a creative person. I guarantee you are. Because you're if you're finding solutions for whatever problem you're looking for, you need to be creative, right? So some people are able to step outside of the box and see different angles a bit better and, take maybe some risks as well. But in most cases, problem solving is creativity. So, and a lot of times, if there's no problem to solve, you don't need to be creative. So then it maybe is go find a problem that you need to solve. That's going to make you creative.
Well, see, and let's talk a little about, creativity a little bit, because I see a lot of entrepreneurs, either one, they're like, man, I'm so creative, I'm amazing, blah, blah, blah. Or there's another one where it's, oh, I'm really not that creative. However, though, they're entrepreneur. And sometimes you were talking about, creativity maybe not be, artistic or musical, but maybe that creativity shows up in other avenues. Maybe you just can see things differently. And so, how do you, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, now that you're able to work on your business instead of in it, okay, how do you enhance your creativity that allows you to say, okay, here's a problem. How do we solve it in a creative way, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's actually a very good point, question. I'm not detached from the business. I would like to be more detached. We're not there yet. I still need to be we don't have a board or anything that I'm running. So I'm still day in, day out, working on this, and I'm loving it. And that's part of who I am. But if and when you can detach yourself, then you're able to actually find the time to look for inspiration other places and be exposed to other things. If I'm 24/7, heads down, working on Photoshop, designing stuff without looking at anything else, I'm going to slowly become a worse designer. There's no way around it. I still need to go watch movies. I still need to read books. I need to, look at other websites. I need to check other people's work. I need to be inspired on, people's innovations in design, etc. Right. So that's all that stuff. Then when there's a problem, is your arsenal. Those are all the little things you use to solve the problem moving forward. This is just an example from the design perspective, but same goes for entrepreneurship. A lot of the things, I'm learning something new every day. I try to listen to podcasts if I'm not doing anything else, because there's somebody else who has a similar kind of a problem and they're tackling it in a different way for whatever reason that I am. May that be they have different resources, may that be they're better at certain things, whatever it is. But you go and that's interesting. Just look at marketing. You can just, there's so many different ways you can market something, right? So you can buy ads, you can create content, you can partner with people, you can just, go and shout in the void. There are so many different ways. And for whatever reason, some ways work better than others for certain people or certain cases. So it's really about like being exposed to all these things, seeing all these opportunities, and then picking and choosing what you think would work for you.
Definitely. And that's what I love about it, because you're exactly right. See, when you're doing creativity, right? Sometimes, you know, a very good example is like Steve Jobs, right? He created the Apple computer, but it was almost like too early, where people didn't have the adaptive. And then all of a sudden, you know, a few years later, when he came back to CEO the second time, all of a sudden he recreated, it was almost the same product, but what did he do? It was the right timing. It was the right moment, right? So sometimes creativity may not be, you know, you have to be at the right time and the right moment sometimes as well. And it's like you just were talking about marketing, right? It has to be the right message to the right people at the right time. And then it allows them to say, wow, man, I'm feeling this, right? If you said COVID 4 years ago, nobody knows that. But now, because everybody's experienced COVID, guess what? It's at marketing. Now, of course, you can't use COVID in marketing strategy, but you get my point though. And that's really awesome. So tell me a little bit, you know, kind of, you know, because coming back to marketing and being creative, right? So you're in this Extentia, right? Your company. It's a very saturated market, right? It's tough. It's competitive. So how do you, as a leader, differentiate yourself to such an extent where, okay, now this is how we're able to scale. This is how we stand out. And this is how we're going to stand creatively different than everybody else. What does that look like?
Very good question. Again, so any successful business stands on three legs. There needs to be a problem, and you got the solution for it. And then you have the story that matches that problem with the person who has that problem. So that's the basic. And then to your point, the timing needs to be right. So if people don't know that they have a problem, then it's a bigger friction. Or if it's not a big problem at that moment, you know, like we could talk about, you know, hygiene and sanitation all we wanted 5 years ago, it would not be as important as it is now. Or we could be talking about remote work, it wouldn't be as important as, look at it, Zoom. We're on a Zoom call right now. Like it was just an explosion for them with this, right? Because all of a sudden that problem to need to connect online became a major one. And then you look at, so that's usually the framework we try to look at when we're trying to understand, okay, how do we differentiate ourselves? What's going on here? And usually, a lot of the times the market is saturated but then you look at, right, first you need to define the market. For us, that market was not other tools. So we didn't look at, you know, like people use us for like presentations and documents, but we're not seeing PowerPoint as our competition. So actually we are seeing designers as our competition. So it's not always like that obvious what market you're in. And I'll explain what I mean by that. A lot of the people that use Extentia are non-designers. So they are people who need to create a good looking document, but they're not designers. So like their usual workflow is, you know what, I'm gonna go hire a designer, or like I'm gonna, you know, get somebody on Fiverr or Upwork or somewhere like that. So like this freelancer is gonna help me do this. So we're basically an alternative to that more than anything else. But we also look at job to be done. What is this person trying to do, right? So a lot of the times, you start with the core thing that you're trying to do. Okay, I'm trying to design something. Then you look at what they do before and what they do after. So, and then if you connect the dots, that gives you a better stable business to build on. In our case, for example, you know what? To put together a good design, they first are getting the ideas, right? So like they need a place where they can put these ideas together. That's still Extentia. Well, you know what? They need to collaborate. A lot of the times the flow works like this. There are a couple of people in a company that, you know, like they need to put together the content. So they go on Google Docs to do collaboration on the content, and then it goes to the designer. And then, you know, then they realize that they made a typo, or they don't, the management says that they need to update something. So there's a lot of back and forth. So the job to be done is actually delivering whatever the end result is. So we enable collaboration. And then you're like, then again, you know, like they need to design on this back and forth, and attachments is like really a long path back and forth. Then we let them share it with links instead of attachments and PDFs. And then, you know, a lot of times, let's say, like, they also want to be able to send a batch of documents instead of one and then be able to update them. So we let them batch them together and share a link to that batch instead of sending, again, individual documents. There's a good case where, like, you know what, like, we will need to create all these reports and documents, but it needs to be branded. So everybody's trying to build their brand, right? So, like, we wanted to look like it's coming from us. We wanted to look really super professional. So we let them import their fonts and colors. So, like, the document they create is always, and then we let them add their team members. So everything always is on brand. So, because the end result is, so, like, we're looking at our, after a couple of years, we're looking at the people who are getting the most value from Extensio. It is usually the smaller businesses, like, you know, people who need to create something professional but don't have the time or the resources to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we look at the different functions these people are doing. They're trying to launch a business, right? So, like, we help them with our template base. We help them figure out their strategy. Like, here's, like, let's help you figure out what your ideal user persona or ideal customer profile looks like. Let's help you put together a brand positioning canvas so you understand how you can go to market. Let's help you understand what your brand value position or value proposition looks like. So, like, we got templates for basically, so that's why we created templates for strategy. We got templates for internal use that may not be reporting or, again, like, defining a strategy, or we got templates for things like creating a proposal, creating a one pager, creating a landing page, you name it. So it's really, like, so basically it's the whole life cycle. And going back to your question, innovation comes from defining what the problem is. Again, a very typical startup quote, which is questionable if you really said it, is if I ask people what they wanted, they would tell me that they want faster horses. But you can always go to the person and ask him, why do you need a faster horse? And that is actually the question. The follow-up question is more important than the, in the mm-hmm. instead of, like, what do you want, is asking why they want it, or being able to understand why they want it actually leads to a better business usually. Then you can say, you know what, this person just wants to get from here to there faster. Now, like, mm-hmm. you're not bound to horses anymore. You can build anything you want. Like, if you can, just beam them up. That's the best business you can build in that case.
Yeah, well, see, and you're bringing up some amazing points, because, see, most entrepreneurs that I see, like, they get one business, right, going, and maybe they get it to six figures, maybe they get to high six figures, but they're never able to get it to 7 to 8 figures. And really the way to do it is, one, build systems, what you're saying, but also when you're developing products, right, don't get like, oh, I'm all of a sudden I'm in, you know, service base or software, and then I'm going to get into real estate, right? That has nothing to do with one another. So why don't you find another product, right? So what I love about what you're doing is really you create an audience, you create some customers, and then guess what? Oh, what else do you guys need? Oh, well, we need this. Why do you need it? Oh, well, let's go ahead and create it for you. And all of a sudden, now what happens? Now you've upsold them on something else, another, you know, feature or something along that line. And then, like you said, the lifetime value of that customer, and then you're upselling them with other products and other services that you can provide. And then that's how you build your software. That's how you build your system. Not that, oh, the creators, oh, this is a good idea. No, it's, hey, what do you guys want? How do we give it to you? And obviously, that's how the system works. And so that's how you've been able to develop your business. I think that's just, that's awesome. What was that transformation like? I mean, going from, you know, one service, one offer, to all of a sudden, would that take 6 months, years, or now? I mean, what's that looking like now?
The beauty of, you know, cloud businesses is, like, it actually is always evolving. Not only the code or the functions, but it's also the messaging that's evolving. I can just go online and, like, play with my messaging and see how that resonates with people every week, right? So, like, it's easy to update sites. So what we did was, like, we started with just the blank slate. So, like, our tool at the beginning was basically a page builder for anything you wanted. It still is. But when we launched it, we realized that, well, people actually need a purpose to do anything with anything you put in front of them. So after that, we realized that, okay, so an early stage, what you want is, you know, a group that wants to interact with you, right, with a need. Maybe, like, less resources, maybe they're not the best targets for monetary purposes, but they should be, like, willing to give you input with either through feedback or their usage or lack of usage. So we build a toolbox. We called it the startup toolbox. And that became basically our second iteration, which was, you know, right after our MVP. And we launched it on Product Hunt. All of a sudden, boom. Like, and the toolbox had, you know, a user persona creator, a landing page creator, a one pager creator, and I think one more thing. So you were able to do four things with the product. But those four things that group needed. And now, like, I'm looking at, you know, how they're using it, and they're giving me feedback. Well, it would be great if I could do this as well. It would be great if I could add a chart here. It would be great if I could, you know, like, add my fonts to it. It would be great if I could add collaborators to it and then do it with my whole team, etc. So you're getting the information. This group is, but here's the tricky part. You still can't just go and, like, build everything everybody wants. You still need to understand, well, you need to make decisions, okay? Like, you know what? Among these people who are showing interest, there's a lot of potential here. And these are the things that I'm never going to do, because simplicity is still the key. So, like, you need to build something that is simple for people to understand. And to going back a little bit, your message or your position changes over time. So, like, what before was a, you know, a toolbox for startups turned out to be a communications and strategy platform, right? Business communications and strategy. That's what we do. So when you say that now, like, I can build a lot of other things. And I'll give you an example from Uber. So what does Uber do? They're a ride-sharing app, right? So that's one. That's not how they define it. They define it as a logistics company. So when you take, like, just ride-sharing out and replace it with logistics, now you can, you know, have a fleet of trucks. Now you can actually, you know, like, let people also deliver food. So all of a sudden, the whole... Well, it doesn't compete with ride sharing. It's still logistics. But when you go to, and again, then you can also have these facets where you can actually define it any way you want. So we're still a startup toolbox for the person who needs it. But as a general description, it doesn't need to be, you know, our main title on the website. But our understanding is, whenever we're doing something, we're looking at, say, like, does this help businesses communicate better? And that may be internally and externally, and strategize better. So as long as we're answering to that higher value proposition, we're good. We're on the right track.
Well, I love what you're saying about simplicity, because I've discovered this very quickly, right? First of all, entrepreneurs, we make things way too complicated. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of, like, beginners, they never start, but also even intermediate people, right? Intermediate individuals that are maybe a high six figure business, a seven figure business. You guys are, you know, maybe not simplifying your business. And what I've realized is, you know, in order to scale on a consistent basis to go seven figures to eight figures, is it's about simplicity, dialing in systems, processes. And so let's kind of, I'd love to get your feedback on, okay, when did you discover simplicity is the key, and how were you able to, you know, trim off the fat to be able to say, okay, how do we simplify this? What do the customer wants? Because we all may have, like, these really cute little features, like business owners, we always have ideas, but it's like, how do we find things that are actually going to be, one, profitable, and two, that they want?
80% of your customers or users are usually going to use 20% of your product, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. So, like, that's where you should focus. I had three user interviews before this call today, back to back, half an hour, short and sweet. We jump on a call, I show them something, they interact with it or give me feedback, and I say thank them, I thank you to them, and then we move on. But that piles up. So, like, just seeing, instead of, like, making assumptions, just getting feedback from people, especially the people who are among the people who would be a good target for your business, does magic for your business. You just need to talk to people more. You just need to see, and that's like two groups. You should talk to your customers that tell you something, and sometimes you see, like, patterns like that's going to help you grow tremendously. And then also talk to strangers, because a lot of the times, to your point, we're sometimes too creative. Like, oh, it can do this, it can do this as well. Like, we can do this, we can build this. You can, but you shouldn't, at least not at that moment, you know, like, until you got some validation. And also, like, you know, it's very easy to build an assumption, and that's the basis of growth hacking, basically, assuming that you got product market fit. You can just make an assumption, turn it into an experiment, and see if your assumption is correct. For example, you know, like, you can say, you know what, I'm going to build a podcast for this kind of an audience, right? You can just go and record maybe like 10 episodes, see if anybody bites, or you could just create a landing page very simply and say like, hey, this is just for this kind of entrepreneur. Sign up if you're interested. If nobody signs up, don't record any episodes. If you got like 1,000 people who signed up already, what are you doing? Just go record that. So like, it's actually like you should be prioritizing getting that feedback and understanding if there is any interest in anything you think that would be awesome before you do anything about it.
At what point did you discover that yourself? Were you always had that kind of like insight, or were you like, wait a minute, this just makes sense? Because I mean, that's some really good insight there.
I mean, my background is UX design. So like, that's the basic of it. Like, don't make people think is like the motto here, right? So like, whatever I do, like, does it, there's the right dose of innovation and things like it's going to change the way they think. And we push that a lot. So we're not always like data driven, but we're data inspired, because there needs to be that creative, which is, you know, like everybody says, you know, do it in yellow, but maybe we should go purple because I like it and see what happens. And that's going to be different. Like you can always like go upstream as well. But as long as you're doing it knowingly, in our case, we always try to, you know, start small, but there are some projects you simply can't start small. So like you take some chances there as well. I mean, if you want to build, you know, a rocket that goes to space, yeah, there's going to be like small steps for you, but eventually you'll need to build that rocket. So like, there's always like the moment where you need to take bigger risks as well. For us, we always try to start with something small as possible. And do we go wrong? Yes. There's so much stuff we overbuilt. So much.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I appreciate that at a very high level. And the reason why is because there's a lot of mistakes that a lot of entrepreneurs start, definitely at the beginning, but even intermediate, right? We always love to, like I said, we always love to create these ideas. We're like, oh, our audience would love these. Well, have you tested it? Do you really know? And the thing is, you know, definitely with the forum and all the data out there, there's a ton of data out there. Right. There's pain points. People are commenting on reviews and all sorts of stuff. And there's all this stuff and vernacular. If you're willing to do the data research that shows to you, okay, what are their pain points? What are they frustrated with? And find the product that actually gives them the solution. And then also on this other point, like you were saying regarding the podcast situation, I actually had one of my business partners. He was trying to do a high ticket course and you know, big, you know, high ticket course and stuff like that. And he was like, hey, we're going to do this live. Da, 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 da. It's $29.97 or something like that. Hey, come and do it. Now, the thing is, they didn't have anything on the back end. They had no, like, who's going to be speaking, what are we going to be speaking about? Like, nothing. But what do? Then they started asking the people that invested into it, hey, what do you want to learn? Hey, how do you want to learn? And then all of a sudden they were getting ideas. And so what they did was they took those ideas, shoved them into the actual, seminar, and boom, they had the seminar. And so I found that so interesting, because what you're just saying, first of all, it'll save so much more time instead of sitting there, hey, I have this amazing product, try to sell it, try to buy it, you know? And the thing is they don't want it. Why? And you're thinking there's something wrong with the system. There's something wrong. No, it's something wrong. People don't care. Right. And I just think that's so awesome that, you know, you've been able to get over that and obviously, you know, overcome that. So now tell me, what's that large vision for you? You know, obviously very competitive. You found that niche. You're really dialing in. You have incredible fulfillment. A lot of people are loving you. So, you know, and your business and what you're doing. What's that large vision, man? Share that with me.
So like, I mean, currently we're building the next version of Extensio. So all that feedback, exactly what you just said, people are telling us for the longest time, these are all the other things that we wanted, or like these are our pain points when using the product, or when we get the results from the product. These are all the other things that's happening in our life. So we're building that next situation, which is hopefully going to, you know, help more people, and it's going to help us grow our business. Our bigger vision is, you know, keep building a platform that helps people build better businesses altogether. So like, I like that mutual benefit we get. Like, I build a good business, but my business is also helping you guys' business, or, you know, your profession in general. There are a lot of students that use Extensio. A lot of colleges use Extensio. Incubators, accelerators use Extensio. So like, just enabling people doing other stuff through Extensio it gives us a lot of fulfillment. But again, it's a mutual thing. So we, through that, we all obviously want to build a bigger business as well. The bigger vision here is really building, just fulfilling that the proposition better moving forward. So like, we want to be the platform for business communications and strategy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm excited for you because like you said, I mean, there's just a lot of competition, but you guys are not dominating at a very high level. And like you said, there's so much more to growth and opportunity. Now, let me ask you, because of COVID and everything like that, that pivoted a lot of, that was devastating for a lot of companies and a lot of business owners. Was that devastating for you? And how did you pivot during that time, this time here?
We were actually luckier than most of the companies. We mentioned some of the reasons in this discussion as well. One, like I never liked having to go to offices at a set schedule. I love going and having meetings. I like brainstorming with people. I like visiting clients and all that. But I didn't like the notion of like, I'm going to be at a place at 8 a.m. I'm going to be there until 6 p.m. regardless of what I need to do to get paid. That whole value proposition was broken for me because I'm a musician. So practice for 6 hours, then you play a gig every week, once a week, and then that's like, well, how do you define what is work? And then when you're listening to music, is that also work? For me, work was more integrated into life. So it wasn't like, I never really was a person about work-life balance. I thought work was life was work, and it could be all together, work nicely, as long as you're doing what you like, right? And as long as you're getting fulfillment from that. So with that, my agenda was to always working on things that's more flexible. So the agency was a physical place. Even though it has a lot of flexibilities, people still would show up, including myself, day in, day out, right? Right now, I'm actually talking to you from a co-working space. And even this, I'm doing very flexibly. When we started Extensio, the first thing that we did was, we're not building a physical space for this company. We want it to be all floating. We want it to be all, and there are various reasons for that. So actually my team is all over the world. So we're all international, we're all remote, and we work at different time zones. So somebody from, Philippines is working in a completely different time zone than I am. We try to overlap and still have meetings, etc. But when you said it right, we've been proving the concept of remote working for a really long time. And I've been screaming about it this for years. It works. There's really no point for doing this the way that it's been done. And now, so we were kind of ready. A lot of the companies struggled when COVID hit. So now how do we do this, right? So how do we now all of a sudden work from home and still get stuff done? There was a lot of trust issues. People work, is this their best work, et cetera. But people actually proved that, work still gets done. And, just being in a physical place at a certain time is not what drives people. It's actually getting stuff done and doing good work and, mm-hmm. being proud of themselves and achieving something, learning something. There's other criteria that drives us. So we were lucky that we were already remote, but we were also lucky. Now people are actually going to remote work, and Extensio does exactly that. So we're actually a platform for enabling people working remotely. So we're a online collaboration platform. So all of a sudden we started people adopting our platform and our tools for different kind of use cases that we were not going after before. So we became more of a more complete of a platform to enable that, not for just a couple of individual things that they were doing before.
Well, that's really neat that you actually, like you said, you know, you saw, okay, digital work from home kind of concepts are the best right now. First of all, for a business like yourself, you don't have to rent a big space, have to worry about the infrastructure, right? And all your, you know, expense is just ridiculous. Well, shoot, what if we just keep our expenses low? And then, like you said, you know, it was actually perfect in this regard, and in fact helped you blow up your business. And so that's actually really cool that you were in the right situation. Now, however, though, what I always want to, you know, tell people a little bit is you built the infrastructure on the front end. And so then when COVID happened, you were in a situation where you could capitalize on this opportunity. Everybody went remote, everything like that. It wasn't like, oh, it was a good luck thing. No, you were in a situation where you had the infrastructure built, you had a great company, you had good fulfillment. And then all of a sudden, you know, an opportunity, you know, jumps on like this. And guess what? Now all of a sudden you're able to optimize that at the fullest capacity, which is really awesome, man. I really just want to say thank you for joining us and just being part of us and just, you know, sharing kind of your incredible journey. Right. As well as like the things you've learned from being a musician to running that design business, to obviously running the business that you have now and really just dominating that industry. Before we let you go, though, is there any last words or where can my audience reach out to you? I'm so sorry. Where can my audience reach out to you and get access to your company and just, you know, reach out to you, bud?
Mm-hmm. Well, extasio.com is the main address for the company. And then we have like, if anybody wants to try it, we got a templates page, which is about like 50 different templates for various business use cases. You can just go try anything without an account even. So like I encourage people to see if that would help their ideas and businesses. And I think it would. And if anybody wants to connect with me, like the usual stuff, I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter. And if you want to, you know, hear my stuff, it's you can see me on Instagram. And I think I got a couple of things there.
Awesome. Awesome. And guys, those links will actually be in the description below. Make sure you reach out to Alper here because of course he's just very knowledgeable and be able to really help you, you know, develop that communications in your business there. And again, before we let you go though, is there any other last words that you want to share with our audience?
No, I think we covered a lot of ground, haven't we? So like, it's again, like I think, you know, like it's just let curiosity lead the way and don't stress too much over failure. As long as it's not, you know, it's obviously like, you know, one of the things, maybe last word is we always want to improve things and we can improve, but that it needs, we need to get out of our comfort zone to be able to do that in a lot of times. And it's okay, you know, like, and you know, it gets a little rough a little bit sometimes, but like I like the journey, and you know, one of the reasons why I'm here, I like the journey more than the end result, because like it's and because the end result always changes and you're left with the journey. Like one of the things that I am most proud of in my life is that I was adaptable. So like I was able to stay flexible and, you know, be able to use whatever learned before for the next move. So like, I think, you know, if you're open-minded, curious and persistent, then like all that combination seems to help.
Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Alper Chucker. Thank you so much, man, for being on our podcast. And guys, that is Journey with Christian D. Evans podcast. Until next time.